Birth of Isaac. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth, very much. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that as we come to these words, so they will come alive for us, that your spirit would take them and thrill us with who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the issues of working through Abraham's life is that there's so much to cover that in one series, if we're not going to be doing it till 2022, we have to leave some bits out. And since last week, where we left Abraham walking faithfully and walking in God's ways, a number of events have happened. Sodom and Gomorrah, a place of extreme wickedness, has been rightly judged. Lot and his family, minus his wife, have been rescued due to their trust in what God has said. But Lot's daughters, after that, get him drunk, sleep with him and have children by him. It's a terrible tale of deceit and immorality. And just in case we think it couldn't get much worse, Abraham was not above all this. He meets King Abimelech. He's worried about him, so he pretends that Sarah is his sister. Sarah is put in King Abimelech's harem, and God stops her from being chosen and then points out to Abimelech the error of his ways. And so Abimelech returns Sarah to Abraham untouched. It makes Coronation Street and EastEnders look tame fair, doesn't it, by this stage of the story? But it also gives us a picture of how hard it is, how hard God's people find it to walk before the Lord faithfully. And my guess is we know that for ourselves, don't we? We know that there are times when it isn't all that easy to do what God wants us to do, where we struggle with that whole idea of doing what God wants us to do. And the question for Abraham is, will God still keep his promise? And that's a question for us too, isn't it? When we muck up, does God still keep his promises to us? Well, today we'll finally reach the fulfillment of God's promise of a child to Sarah and Abraham, which went back all the way to Genesis chapter 12. We've been journeying and waiting for this moment for quite some time. But as we do this, we'll see the faithfulness and the graciousness of God, his ability to look beyond what we get wrong in order to still be gracious to us and fulfill his promises. Now, I wonder, if you were writing a history of Abraham and Sarah, what would you include in? Would you include all their failures and all their mistakes? Well, the New Testament writes a potted history of them in Hebrews 11. And this is what we read. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. What a gracious summary of their lives. There's none of their failures mentioned, is there? None of the times when they got things wrong. And it reminds us that God is far more gracious to us than we ever deserve. I'd be delighted if the story of me wiped out all the bad things I'd ever done. Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But in the graciousness of God, you see, that's what happens. Doesn't deny that they happened, but it's not the focus. So what do we learn from these verses? Firstly, we learn the faithful God. Verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. Now, the whole language of these verses catches the significance of what happens. Verse 1, the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said. Verse 1, the Lord did what he had promised. Verse 2, Sarah became pregnant at the very time God had commanded. Verse 3, Abraham gives him the name Isaac. That constant repetition of as he said, as he promised, at the very time God had promised. That constant repetition is to remind us that when God speaks, he fulfills his words. Now, there is a massive industry around birth announcement. There are so many ways it can be done. It used to be just a card sent out, didn't it? But now they're announced on Facebook and YouTube, Instagram and TikTok, to name just four. Are you impressed with how up with the kids I am, by the way? What's surprising here is that when you consider how long we've been waiting for this announcement, this event, we get three verses. That's it. How brief a description it is. After all, Sodom and Gomorrah takes 46 verses. Lot and his daughter, 9 verses. Abraham and Abimelech, 18 verses. Why only 3 verses? I mean, if this was an EastEnders storyline or a Coronation Street, they'd have a whole week of special programs. It would go on forever. But in our story, all we've got is 3 verses. Why is that? So that we'll realize that there was never a doubt that God would keep his promise. It's not a big thing. We're supposed to realize in the very brevity of it that God keeping his promise is what God does. That's why it's such a brief note. It's a faithful God who does what he says he will do. And so certain is it that we don't have to spend hours and verses on it. God is a faithful God who always keeps his promises. And that's important to you and I, because as we'll see in a bit, there are some times when the way he keeps them is not as we expect. And there's sometimes that the way he keeps them is not in our timing as we've seen before. But never doubt, he will keep his promise. The faithful God. Secondly, we see the response to God's faithfulness. Verse 4. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Notice the matter-of-fact way we're told of how Abraham responds to God's faithfulness. He has his son circumcised. Now we saw last week that shows that Abraham has not forgotten. He wants his family to be in relationship with the covenant God who has given him a son when he was 100 years old. Abraham's response is one of obedience, and we've seen that through the story. But I want to focus this morning on Sarah's response, which is a response of joy. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Now, we've seen Sarah laugh before, but when she laughed before, what happened? It was a laugh of derision. Will I really have a child at this age? No. Stupid God. But this laughter is one of joy. How do we know that? Well, because she says, God has brought me laughter. And she recognizes that everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. They would join in. I mean, it was absurd, wasn't it? For Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah to have a child at this age, but for the work of God, was absurd. No wonder people laughed with joy. And imagine yourself for a moment into Sarah's situation, who for her years has lived with others looking down on her because she couldn't have children. Who for years had lived with a promise of God that she hadn't yet seen fulfilled. Who had had a heart that had ached and hurt. But now she's full of joy. There is a great danger, I think, as Christians, that we forget the joy it is when God is involved in our lives. Especially as we go on as Christians. I think as we go on, we sometimes get quite used to the idea that God is involved with us. And we forget the overwhelming joy it should be to know that the God of the universe, the God who created us, wants to be involved in our lives. And that he wants our response to his involvement to be one of joy, one of thankfulness. It's one of the great privileges, I think, of when we gather together, that I'm reminded I'm to be joyful because I look around and I normally see smiling faces. That's put you on the spot now, hasn't it? that sense of I can look around and see that even if we're not necessarily happy, we are joyful. If our circumstances of life are difficult, we cannot always be happy, but we can be joyful knowing that the Lord is at work in our lives. And I want to thank you for the privilege of seeing you do that journey and journeying with you. That's the joy of being in a church family. At the men's breakfast yesterday morning, the guys had a chance around the tables just to talk about how God had worked through others in their lives. And I wasn't on one of the tables, but just to hear the buzz of conversation was just an encouragement. And at our last prayer gathering, when we gathered together for the first time for ages, and there was just an awesome, joyous sense of the presence of God with us as we talked and prayed. The world looks for joy in all sorts of wrong places. And sometimes we're tempted by some of those places too. But we, like Sarah, should be joyful in the amazing faithfulness of God to his people and his promises. There are so many promises, aren't there, that we could remember. The promise to forgive us when we turn to him. The promise never to leave us alone. The promise that if we feel weak and heavy laden, we can turn to him and he will give us rest. The promise that he will help us to persevere to the end. What joy it is to know those promises and to reflect on them. I love the story of two Russian Baptist pastors who were in a Siberian camp for their faith, and they were executed for their faith. But someone else became a Christian that day because he wrote afterwards, "I saw the joy on their faces as they died." That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I wonder if people looking at Christ Church St Andrews, they go, "That's a joyous place." I hope they do. But I hope it is that joy that comes from knowing that the Lord is faithful to his promises. And that as we reflect and see how he's been that in our lives, how we, like Sarah, can rejoice. God is a faithful, promise-keeping God. Our response is to be one of joy. Finally, in the last section, we see how God fulfills his promises in unexpected ways. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast, but Sarah saw that the son who Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Now the joyous feast turns to jealous feelings. It's funny how joy can sometimes get distracted to somewhere else, isn't it? Now it's not quite clear whether Ishmael is at fault here, for the word mocking could also be translated playing. And it may be that as Sarah looks at Ishmael and Isaac playing together, as brothers sometimes do happily, she just is overwhelmed by jealousy. And Abraham is understandably distressed. He doesn't want his family to be split. He cares about Hagar and Ishmael. But God, you see, does something quite surprising here. But God said, verse 12, and do not be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you. So God agrees that Ishmael and Hagar should go. But notice here that he is still faithful to the promise he made earlier. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also because he is your offspring. In the beginning of the chapter, we saw God fulfill his promise in a way we expected. Isaac was born. But now we see God fulfill his promise in a way we don't expect by Hagar and Ishmael leaving. Before, when Hagar and Ishmael left, when Ishmael was in Hagar's womb, Hagar is told to go back. But here, Abraham is told, let them go. Now, the important things we recognize here is that God fulfills his promises. And as we saw at the end of the reading, he actually fulfilled his promises by what? By caring for Hagar and Ishmael, even making sure that the family line would continue. We have to understand that sometimes the way God keeps his promises is unexpected to us. And sometimes it feels to us that he cares for others more than us because they seem to have the promises they're holding on to fulfilled more than we do. They seem to have an easier life. Sarah does have an easier life than Hagar, but it doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. In a broken, fallen world, we won't all have the same quality of life. But we will have a God who will fulfill his promises, sometimes in unexpected ways. I had a brother called Richard who died. I was very privileged in the last 4 days of his life to be able to spend those 4 days with him. He lived in Bristol, we lived here. He'd travelled to here without knowing that it was going to be the last 4 days of his life. And so he died in Canterbury Hospital with me by his side. I had prayed in the year before that a relationship that hadn't been as close as it had been in the past would be renewed. And I knew God had promised me that that was going to happen. It wasn't the way I expected it, but it was good, and God was good. We must never doubt that God will keep his promises, even if they are sometimes kept in very unexpected ways. That was true for Hagar and Ishmael. What a great privilege it is to journey with Abraham. Because as we see a God who is worth following. Because he is faithful to his promises in expected and unexpected ways. He's faithful to his people in expected and unexpected ways. No wonder we too can join Abraham and Sarah in being joyful in the Lord and what he does. May this week you be full of the joy of the Lord. May it radiate from you. May it radiate out of us as individuals and as a church family so that people will see who the Lord is and join in rejoicing in that. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what an amazing privilege it is to journey with Abraham and Sarah and to see how you are a promise-keeping God. Help us never to doubt that. And in the midst of both the joys and the struggles of life, to know that deeper joy that is just to know that you are with us, loving, caring, keeping your promises. Father, we recognize that in this world we won't always be happy. But we do pray that we would always hold on to the joy of knowing who you are and that you are true to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.